said to her, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." And then in verse 30, "And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God.'" I want to talk for a few moments on finding favor with God. I would suspect that if every one of us in this room could figure out how to do that, we would jump at that chance to know that we could find favor with God. And for some reason, Mary was able to do that. And I'd like to explore some reasons as to why that was the case. Why was it that Mary was the recipient of the grace of God in this way? Now notice, she's not called a bestower of God's grace. She doesn't impart that grace to us. She doesn't dispense it to us. She was a recipient of that grace. And so when the angel spoke to her, Gabriel said, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." And then later on he says, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Finding favor with God. Here is Mary, a young teenager, and yet she is caught within the context of one of the greatest events in human history, the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mary incognito, Mary insignificant, Mary a young teenager, not even married yet, betrothed to be married, living in the backwoods of a backwood country, and God looks all across that land and bestows his favor on Mary. Now, God had done this all throughout history. This isn't anything new. God had often bestowed his favor upon people. One of the first times we read about it is in the book of Genesis, when God said that Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. God bestowed his favor on Noah. But what was it about Mary that would get her caught in the context of this incredible supernatural event called the incarnation of Jesus Christ? Because notice her response at the end of the whole episode in verse 38. "And Mary said, 'Behold, your bondservant of the Lord. Be it done to me according to your word.' And the angel departed." And I'm going to suggest that that response tells us a whole lot as to why Mary found favor in the eyes of the Lord. I'm going to suggest three reasons. One reason is that Mary willingly cooperated with God in this new venture that had never been accomplished before. A new venture that God is now going to be involved in that had never happened before. God had never sent his son to be incarnated in flesh before. God had never sent his son to be birthed in the womb of a virgin before. This is all brand new. Brand new stuff. Never happened before. This was the first. And Mary is in a long line of willing participants used by God in things that had never been done before. Adam had never participated in the tilling of the garden before, and God had never asked anybody to do that before. Noah had never built an ark before, and God had never asked anybody to do that before. Abraham left his home and went to a new and strange land. God had never told anybody to do that before. Moses crossed the Red Sea. Brand new. God had never done that before, and Moses willingly participated. God had never brought down the walls of a city before so that his people could have a victory in their enemy. But Joshua experienced that at Jericho. Solomon had never constructed a temple before. Peter had never walked on water before. Paul had never taken missionary journeys before. But in all of these cases, these people willingly participated with God in something that God had never done before. And here's Mary. God sends Gabriel to announce an event that, as somebody said to us, I think Randy in the church reading, had to be absolutely incredible. As a matter of fact, the only exchange that she has with the angel is in verse 34. And you can kind of get a sense of Mary's, like, what? What are you asking? When she says to the angel, how can this be since I'm a virgin? I mean, she was beginning to get it. It was beginning to sink in. But it was like, this is too marvelous to comprehend. This is too incomprehensible to understand. And I'm going to suggest that maybe the most godly thing that any of us could ever do is to be willing to participate with God in something He's never done before. Now, I don't know if we'll ever get that chance. And I don't think if God wanted me to build an ark because He was going to flood the world again, that wouldn't be something He'd never done before. So, and He's not going to anyway. We know that. He told us He wouldn't. But it seemed to me that God is always calling His people to step out in complete dependence upon Him. To me, that seemed to be the ultimate expression of godliness, where a man or a woman can actually take God at His word so seriously that they believe it, and they participate in whatever that word has instructed. Now, if you go through the episode, you notice that she didn't wait for more answers to questions. She personally cooperated, not knowing all that would transpire. Which brings me to the second idea here. Mary found favor in the eyes of the Lord because she was willing to participate in something God had never done before. But secondly, she personally cooperated, not knowing all of the details of how it would work itself out. I mean, she obviously knew something about procreation, so she begins to think, I'm a virgin, I'm going to have a child. Those dots don't connect. So, while she can't figure out all the details, and she can't even understand some of the answer that was given, she didn't just ask more questions. She knew she was a virgin, and yet she submitted to what was humanly impossible, believing that God could do what He promised. It's the same thing Noah did when he built the ark. It's the same thing Joshua did when he marched around the walls of Jericho. Mary had all kinds of evidence available for her that God could be trusted. She had the whole legacy of her nation, of her people. She could look back on the track record and see that, yes, the same God that's speaking to her has done impossible things, but He hasn't done them for me. But yet she doesn't seem to waver. She had all kinds of evidence that God could do what He said He would do. God could be relied upon, apparently, from her point of view, to do what He said He would do. God had the ability to do the impossible. God never asks us to put faith in blind trust. You know, God could be relied upon from Mary's point of view because she knew from experience and from knowledge and from evidence that God had the ability to do something impossible. And it wasn't a blind leap. She didn't just blindly trust God. She took the evidence that she had with her into a situation that she'd never been through before, knowing that God had the ability to do something He had not done before, even though she did not have all the details. Faith, I think, is a personal decision to trust the evidence. Mary didn't exercise a baseless belief in what God said. It was a personal decision on her part to trust what God said with the evidence that she had that God could do what He claimed to do. She was convinced that it was true. God never asked us to take blind leaps of faith. The whole Bible is a record of evidence. It's an evidence of God's ability to do what He said He would do. It's evidence that God is at work in the world. The whole point of the Bible is to give us testimony. Eyewitness testimony about what God has been doing and what He is up to. And so God moves into Mary's life and invites her to participate in something He had never done before. Waiting for her response, "Be it so, be it done to me, as you say, your bondservant." Because she didn't have to have all the details worked out, she knew that God was able to do what God was able to do. I think there's a final reason why she found God's favor. She trusted that God could do what He said, but she deliberately cooperated so she could participate with God. She wanted to participate with God in what He was doing. Didn't have to have all the details. She knew it was something God had never done before, but she wanted to participate in what it is God was going to do. Now notice, she didn't try to get God to do something else. She didn't want God to accomplish another plan or to take another way or to do another thing. She didn't stagger at what it was God wanted to do. Her only question was one of clarification. How can this be? I'm a virgin. It wasn't consternation. It was consideration that motivated her to ask that question. And her final response was not resignation, but one of participation. "Hey, I'm in. I want to do what you want to do. I don't know what it's going to take. I don't know all the details. It's never been done before. But I have the evidence and the legacy of my nation that you are a God who stays true to His Word. And I'm going to trust that. And I'm going to walk in this situation by faith. And I'm going to participate in what it is you want to do." Now, if only we would be content with that as well. If only we would be content to participate with what God is doing instead of waiting to get all of the information before I decide. She had some information, but there's no way she could have had all the details sorted out. So God invites us to be men and women who come to the Word of God, who read the Word, who listen to the Word, who study the Word, who grow in our knowledge of God so that we too can continue to participate with what it is God is doing. What is He doing today? Well, very clearly He tells us, today God is building His church. Today God is making disciples. Today God is preparing people for His eternal kingdom. God is not fixing the world. He's not bringing social justice. God is not eradicating poverty or politically uniting the globe. Mary was a favored one. She found grace with God for the same reason Noah did, Abraham did, Lot did, Rahab did. It's because she wanted to participate in something God was doing, knowing that that is where God was at work. And Mary's agreement in verse 38 tells us that very truth. "Behold, the bond slave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So what? You want to be a recipient of the grace of God? You want to know the selective favor of God in your life? Let me suggest a couple of things. Understand that God selects people to give His grace to. God's grace presumes preference. Notice, I don't read about Zechariah or Elizabeth or Joseph as the favored one. I read of Mary. There was something about Mary, and God knew it and gave her an opportunity to reveal it by inviting Gabriel to bring this message to her. Recognize that God's grace is selective, and we can avail ourselves of God's grace and goodness in our lives, as Mary did, as we are devout and faithful to what He wants for us. But also notice, grace isn't universal. Mary was selected. In the whole episode, the angel came to Mary. In the whole world in Noah's day, it was Noah who found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Gracious favor in the Bible is an act of approval or preference from God. Some receive it and some don't. Mary was selected by God to be a bearer of Christ, of the Christ child incarnate. And here is something that we can all take note of as we close this evening. God, through this same Son, Jesus Christ, invites you to come in faith. He invites you to come in faith to His Son, recognizing and claiming Him as your Savior and your God. Here's the verse. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, that no one should boast. Here's the question. Will you believe? I want to assume that everybody in this room knows Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But God forbid that I assume that, because there's no way I know your heart. But what I want you to know this evening is that Jesus Christ came in flesh to save you from your sin. That He died on a cross 33 some years later and became sin that you might become the righteousness of God. This evening, I can't think of a better time than Christmas or maybe Easter to turn your life over to Christ, to accept Him as your personal Savior, to know from this day forward that the same Jesus who came in Mary's womb is the same Jesus who came for you. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, if you've never turned your life over to Him, if you've never confessed your need for a Savior, why don't you do that tonight? Would you bow with me as we pray? Our gracious Father, thank You for the testimony of Mary. Thank You for the work You've done in her life that You've preserved in Scripture that we can learn from and be challenged by. May we be men and women who can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And if someone here this evening doesn't know Christ as their Savior, I pray, dear Father, that Your Holy Spirit would grasp their heart and mind, bring conviction to their soul, and invite them into the family of God. Thank You for sending Your Son to save us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.